Hey, Ananate. I'll just sing you a small walking beauty song. Okay, this is more a contemporary. This is a contemporary walking beauty song, and it goes like this. Shinasha, ala ala konasha, ala ala konasha, shinasha, bege hojala ea heinaya, ala ala konasha, ala ala konasha, shinasha, bege hojala ea heinaya. She touching her jaw, Nasha. She touching her jaw, Nasha. She Nasha, big a hojola ea heinea. Ahala, ahala, go, Nasha. Ahala, ahala, go, Nasha. She Nasha, big a hojola ea heinea. She netting her jaw, Nasha. She netting her jaw, Nasha. She na sha big a hojola ea heinea. Nch naji hojona sha. Nch naji hojona sha. She na sha big a hojola ea heinea. Nch laji hojona sha. Nch laji hojona sha. She Nasha bige hojola ea heinea. She ajin hojona sha. She ajin hojona sha. She Nasha bige hojola ea heinea. She kajin hojona sha. She kajin hojona sha. She Nasha bige hojola ea heinea. Ahala ahala go nasha, ahala ahala go nasha, she nasha bige hojola ea heinea. Ah, chodin hojona sha, ah, chodin hojona sha, she nasha bige hojola ea heinea. Now, just to translate, I said, this is a prayer that we use in our culture, and in the prayer, it's also sung as a song, and it goes, there's beauty before me, there's beauty behind me, there's beauty on the right side of me, there's beauty on the left side of me, there's beauty below, there's beauty above, all around me, I walk in beauty. What more appropriate for the place, right? Yeah.
Thank you, Marietta, for honoring us. So I'm going to lead a meditation, and I won't reveal everything that's going to go through as we go through it, until we go through it. So I'd like to ask you to pair, to find a partner. It can be your own partner, it can be your friend, it can be your soul, family here, and find a partner. And you will need to be facing your partner, so you can sit in a position that's comfortable for you, and not far from your partner, because you're going to need to reach him or her. If you want to stand, that is okay too, although you may need to hold this posture for a while. If you don't have a partner, you will find a way to do the exercise between you and Gaia and creation. Is everyone feeling comfortable? You will need to face each other, yes. And throughout the exercise, I would ask you to hold this posture as we go through the exercise into the channeling. until the channeling is completed. Take a deep breath and find your center of peace in this peaceful place. This peaceful place reflecting back into your own peace. If someone, I want to make sure that no phones starting off. If you think your phone is going to start beeping, please make sure it's turned off. Center yourself. Take the slow, conscious breaths. Connect with your breath. Consciously, slowly, feeling it going through you, feeling the earth breath going through you, pulling from the earth the energy that is here. Breathe deeply and slowly. Let your mind and thoughts rest for this moment. Let us suspend time here in this timeless space. Take more conscious, slow breaths. Peace, stillness, serenity is all around you. It is also all in you. And you find the merging of the two, between your inner world and your outer world. All through the breath and the connection to your heart. Keep breathing, keep feeling. See what the land has to tell you and to speak to you right now. Open to it, let it, allow it, receive it. There is no time. There's truly no time at all. It is always an illusion. So we are stepping out of time and we are experiencing more of the oneness in nature, a oneness in the universe, a oneness with all that is. In all levels of creation, in all dimensions, we are always connected to it. We are always allied with it. When you are ready, place your right hand on your heart, gently in a place that is most comfortable for you. Feel that small but powerful organ that you don't have to ever think about how it works, that is always there, keeping you in this dimension, in this body, in this experience. Feel it. There is no thoughts here. It's all about the feeling. Now, with your left hand, reach out to your partner and place your left hand, while keeping your right hand on your heart, on your partner's hand that is placed on his heart. And allow yourself to feel both of your hearts and feel the stillness, the peacefulness, the love, the compassion, the deep gratitude, and all the benevolent attributes of the heart passing through you, passing from one soul to another, passing from one soul to another, passing from one soul to another. There is no time, there is no place, there is only energy, there is only love. Your pure state is always love. And this body and this earth is temporary. Fall deeper into that space of energy of the heart. Let yourself immerse into it. Breathe. Now, slowly and gently, as you face each other in this posture, open your eyes and look into each other's eyes. Let the face and features disappear and focus your attention in the eyes alone. As the eyes are the window to the soul, and we recognize soul to soul, and while maintaining that gazing, you are also maintaining the heart connection and the focus of the heart and the eyes. There is no body. You are no body. You are experience of energy. You are consciousness, looking at consciousness. You are pure wisdom, looking at wisdom. You are ancient, you have no beginning and no end. You are always here and you will always will be. There is no beginning, there is no end. Don't hold yourself back. Never hold your tears back. You are in a supportive, loving, conscious soul family. There is only love here. There is no judgment. There is only love here. There is no judgment. Give this moment to yourself. For this moment is powerful, is eternal, is unconditionally created by you for you right now. Let your mind and thoughts rest. There is nothing else but you in this moment gazing into another soul. And you know that soul. You know it in your heart that you have been on other journeys before. You just know it. And in this knowing, you found a deeper level of connection. In this space where we are loved by the ancestors who weep for us as we look at each other and gaze. Because this is also their teachings, that we are one with everything. There is no beginning. There is no end. There is only a circle. And in this circle, we are one. Breathe. Feel. Expand your experience. You are a creator. You are a multi-dimensional powerful being. With a Merkava that speaks, that understands, that knows everything that you ever been and you ever will be. seeing all your potentials. Don't hold anything back, because this moment is precious. This moment will last forever. Immerse yourself deeper into it. Don't hold anything back. We are here to live in pure, alive joy. We are here to be love, to be compassion, to be benevolent. Breathe. You are the I am that I am. You are all that is, and you know it. It was always with you and will always be. Breathe. There is no limit to your abilities to expand your heart. It's just your mind that may hold you back. There is no limit to anything you can do. And if you are in need for some healing right now, ask for it within your heart and draw from the earth and from this sacred space the energy that you are asking for, and let it speak to you. In a no time place, it will come to you. Breathe and stay in this posture, as we invite a multitude of beings into the light that we are creating here, into this family, our larger family, uncounted for it is so big and so immense, in a place of love that we cannot comprehend with our mind, but we can feel with our hearts.
Greetings, dear ones, I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. This is the fourth message in this precious land. And before I begin yet again, we ask permission of the ancestors for this message in this place, in this amazing alcove where the ancients lived. We've been here before, one time, and it's just as amazing now. The energy of the ancestors remains and remains. Through generation after generation, the ancestors will always be here. And the chief reason for that is that they would always be available for wisdom and help for those who would be in this place, who would walk the land, and that includes the visitors. For it's time to share the wisdom of the ancients, learned right here, with those who would consider them from modern culture, who need to know so much that no one has ever told them. And so we ask permission of these ancestors at this point for what we are going to give and the message, which is just a little different yet again. Dear ones, you may be aware, especially here, of the four sacred directions. And it plays very significantly to this culture and how they approach spirit. And they're not alone. For there are cultures all over the planet who will honor the four sacred directions before they will do anything else. I'm going to do something we have done in other places like this. The four directions have names. And they are the names, supposedly, of the compass. Now, if I were to follow the protocol of the culture here, I would honor them in a certain order, and I'm not going to do that. And the reason is we're going to honor them in a very unique way, and it would be different every single time. If I sat here tomorrow, it would be different then. It's like this. The wind blows, not necessarily from one sacred direction. And if the wind blows from a certain direction, the one who is tuned in to the land would understand what's coming, or what that means, or if a season is changing too abruptly, or if there is weather shifting that is unusual. It has to do with water, it has to do with hunting, it has to do with all of the things that you would have to survive. If the wind blows another direction, it's the same. And you never know which direction the wind will come from or go toward. And so what I am saying in this parable is that at this moment, the wind is blowing from one sacred direction, and so it's going to change the order that we will speak of the directions. It's the wind of the day. And in this, I'll also say, we're not going to honor the directions, but instead do something we've done before. We're going to take the first initials of the letters of the directions in English, and in this moment, assign meanings to them for teaching. So let us speak first and honor the East. And today, the East, starting with the letter E, is going to stand for enlightenment. Now, what would I have to speak of regarding enlightenment is such a common name and word and meaning. And there are so many old souls listening right now who would say, yes, I understand what that means. So I'm going to redefine it. Enlightenment today is going to be any single human being who sits there and knows that they don't know everything. Because what comes next that they don't know becomes a light that shines upon something that they didn't know. Therefore, an enlightened human being can be anywhere at any time, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with spirituality or culture. Any single human who says, I know what I have been told, and I know my traditions, and I know the ancients, and I know my parents, and I know my church, but I am open for something newer and grander because the times are changing and the wind is blowing from another direction. We have said this before, the Creator is the Creator and never changes. The earth is the earth and never changes. But what does change is the relationship of the human being to all of that. Therefore, as much as you think you know, or even that which your ancestors have told you, there may be more. For as your consciousness starts to raise, the earth may show you more than it's even shown the ancestors. As your consciousness starts to raise, the Creator, the veil, the angelic realm, whatever you wish to call it, may very well show you more than you had before. And so it's the allowance of that that creates an enlightened human being. To show you how practical this is, and the fact that it's not necessarily allied to belief systems, imagine the difference between an enlightened and unenlightened physicist. Now, the physicist who is unenlightened is the one who says, I believe everything that has been discovered is accurate and true, and the laws of physics are static and they don't move, and this is the way the universe works, and I can prove it over and over and over, and have done so all my life. The enlightened physicist is the one who says that and also says, but it can change. And the things that change that may surprise the physicist is as follows. Physics in an older energy is where you measure things to discover what you consider the laws. And you write them down, and that becomes that which is solid, unchangeable. And that's the way you work, and you work with that which you need to in all the inventions, in all that you believe. You've created a law, and it is forever. And the enlightened physicist says, yes, but I know that it's not a law, it's simply a default. In other words, when you don't change anything, that's what you get. To the physicist who might be listening, if you're going to measure the things that Newton has measured, that you believe that he has given you, that you have used for so long, you can start to look at the elements of the formulas of physics, especially that of gravity. And you have things called mass and density. And you look at those and you say, if this is this, then this will be this, and that will weigh this and that. What if any of those were variable? What if you could change mass? You have a marble on a table, and you know all about it because you know how much it weighs, where it is, how fast it will fall, and how it will move. And you write it down, and you move on. Meanwhile, the marble is sitting there and saying, yes, but what if you changed my mass? I might not weigh as much. I might not then do what you think. What if all the laws were only defaults, just waiting for you to change some of the parameters? That is an enlightened physicist who says, I don't know what I don't know, but nothing is forever. There is no law which is unchangeable. And when you plug this into your everyday life, dear ones, you walk around and you say, I know what my mother told me and my father told me and my church told me, and I respect them and I'm using them, but I'm always open in case it gets better. I'm always open for something that is even grander, that might be new and enhance everything. Wouldn't it be spectacular if right now the earth started speaking to you in a way that it never did before? And if you said, why now? It would say, because humanity is to a place where they can hear it, and before they could not. Does that make your grandfather wrong? Does that make your parents wrong? Does that make your church wrong? No, it does not, because they were only hearing what was possible. And now, in a new energy of enlightenment, more things are possible and more things are hearable and seeable. And it starts to then change everything you do. This message, like so many others, is controversial, because there are those who say, don't confuse me with what I've been told. And that's the difference between enlightenment and non-enlightenment. And that is E for East. Let us go to the South and use the letter S, and it's going to be for synchronicity. Synchronicity is considered to be luck, sometimes considered chance. You're at the right place at the right time, and synchronicity will create then something special for you. part of the new energy, even that of where the earth speaks to you differently, is expecting things that used to be chance. Now I sit here in a land where those ancestors always tried to tell you that you could control chance. And that is for the weather, it is for hunting, it is for survival, that if you do certain things certain ways and expect certain things, the earth will cooperate. This is ancient information, and now you're relearning it on a day-by-day basis. Dear ones, consciousness is energy. And if you put that energy to work in expectations, you actually can warp the whole idea of chance. And you can bring it to yourself. Kryon, are you saying that we can control certain things outside of normal control? Yes. Can you go to a place expecting to meet somebody you think you might need to know, with information you might need to have? And the answer is yes. It has to do with designed consciousness, how you posture your life. Do you go from place to place with an attitude that nothing will ever change, or that nothing is going to get better for you? Do you go and have a position or an attitude of sameness all the time and just walk through life? Well, I'll say it again. This is so profound, dear ones. Consciousness is so profoundly energy and works so well that if that's what you think, that's what you'll get. If you say to yourself, nothing good ever happens to me, you have just placed an order with the universe that nothing good will ever happen to you. It's almost like there was an entourage of ancestors listening to what you want. As described by you, out of your own mouth, out of your own consciousness, and you say, woe is me. Nothing ever changes for me. Nothing ever good. Nothing good will happen. And there's so much of this, dear ones, out of the mouths of so many in a culture who have been trained into that, that the ancestors will sit around and hear that and go, and this is what you should have. But for the human being who understands that the consciousness can actually change chance, you then can give that order like on a menu. I will meet the right person who has the right information. I'll be in the right place at the right time. And you walk from place to place expecting good things to happen, expecting that which will enhance your life. And I'm sitting here telling you that makes a difference. And it's not wishful thinking. It's you creating with the energy of consciousness. Can you change the weather with the energy of consciousness? Dear ones, yes, yes. And the ancients have been doing it for thousands of years. And that was S. The North is going to be the N, and I cannot help myself, it's the new human. The new human is what I have been talking about for so many years. A human being who looks nothing like the historical human being. The new human who sits and understands the energy of compassion and how it works. The new human who will be placed in so many areas of life, not just that which is spiritual. You'll find the new human emerging, believe it or not, in politics. You'll find the new human emerging, believe it or not, in corporate work. the human who starts to understand a new process of how people think and what people really are starting to want that history would say they never wanted before. The new human has one specific attribute that is so different from the older human. The older human looks at history and says it will repeat. What has happened before will happen again. It's a circle. Take a look. Don't expect anything different. The new human will understand that it does not have to repeat because there are new attributes coming and here that will then change the future and the potentials of everything. The new human gives an attribute of not hope, but of actual designed reality. The new human will understand that when new things are happening regarding consciousness, that it cannot repeat an old consciousness in the future. Therefore, what I'm telling you, the past does not count as a measurement for what is coming. And the longer you exist, the more you will see this, dear ones. And there will be always those who will be naysayers in this and say, you're crazy. You've got thousands of years of humanity to look at, and you've got human nature to look at, and you're launching out as though it didn't matter or it didn't work that way. The new human will face off with that person and says, it doesn't work that way anymore. It's coming. Some of you already see it in some of the things that are happening on the planet. The last sacred direction that we wish to talk about is west. You see, they're not in the correct order. West, today, right now, is going to stand for women. Dear ones, do not misunderstand the words of Kreon if you are just listening to this for the first time. This has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with that which you would call the rights of women. It has everything to do with common sense. And what you're going to start to see is that there will be an acknowledgement that women do something better than men. And the first is giving birth. Add on to that what they do after they give birth. They train their children. They have compassion. They have patience. As a child in trouble, who's the one you ran to? It was your mom. The women carry the equipment mentally and consciously to be spiritual guides of this planet. They have the highest intuition factor of either gender. And that will then allow them to have the shamanic energy that you need to guide you into the future. Right now, dear ones, there are many belief systems on this planet that are male heavy. And I will tell you, they cannot remain that way. They'll dwindle. And if they're listening right now, I'll tell you it has nothing to do with politics or war or anything. It has to do with your young people who will not agree. What happens to a culture when your young people look at it and say, not for me, and leave? And the answer is, it starts to dwindle, and everything precious to you will start to leave because no one will be interested. Indeed, you're going to start seeing this revelation in certain belief systems where men only in the past have had leadership, and now women are starting to have it as well. And when they both have it, it'll be obvious who does a better job. And slowly, you will see the feminine, like the mother, is the one you're going to want to turn to for spiritual advice. As strong as the men are, the women can do it better. And dear ones, this has been the way of it in ancient times and is starting to return today. And so as the wind blows in this moment, as I sit in this chair with my partner, these are the attributes that I wanted to talk about that just happen to honor the four sacred directions. And so it is.